You know, football season for most may be over, but we had some of the All-Star games, the All-American games, well, specifically the American Bowl down in the state of Florida a week or so ago with former Dragon football quarterback, and I think it's okay at this point to say Dragon great at that, Jack Strand joining us tonight. Jack, how are you doing? How was the experience at the American Bowl? What was it like playing in front of all those scouts, all the fans, and of course against Division I competition?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. It was definitely, the American Bowl was a great experience. It was a lot of fun to get down there and just to play football. I kept saying playing football, you know, at the end of January always means you're doing something right. So it was a good thing. It was an awesome experience to get down there, play against some, you know, high levels of competition, a lot of Power Four guys, you know, SEC, Big Ten type players there. Playing in front of scouts too, like getting a chance to kind of show what I can do, you know, against those high-level guys, and then get a chance to meet with some of the scouts too, talk to some NFL teams. It's all a great experience, and definitely kind of just a confidence boost for me too. Like, you know, seeing that I can hang with those guys, I can you know, throw it as well as them. I can, you know, adjust to the speed of the game, I guess. But yeah, it was an awesome experience. I'm super grateful to have had the chance to do that.
There's a couple of guys I want to ask about you being able to play with over that last week too. Of course, you were a finalist for the Harlan Hill Award, which is the Division II Player of the Year. For those maybe unfamiliar, it's our version of what would be called the Heisman Award. And you were a top five finalist, the first Dragon ever to be a top five finalist for it. But you had a chance to play on the same team and be one of two Division II guys at this bowl with the Harlan Hill winner of 2025, Virginia Union's Curtis Allen. What was that experience like? I saw a photo of the two of you guys after the ball game. What was it just like being able to play alongside a D2 guy and seeing you guys be able to hold up against that competition and really show the scouts that you guys belong?
Yeah, that was awesome. And getting a chance to connect with Curtis a little bit. He's a super good dude. And kind of just, we bonded over, you know, being the only two Division II guys there. And, you know, we kind of just talked about making a name for the lower level guys, showing that they belong, you know, with the big boys, I guess you could say. And, you know, I think during the week, we both showed good things. He had a good showing, you know, in the practices and in the games. And, just getting a chance to bond with him and, you know, the guy who ended up winning the Harlan Hill, so I was able to congratulate him, that kind of thing, and then just kind of hear about his story, you know, going through his college career and how he ended up where he was. But, yeah, I mean, just being able to represent kind of all Division II, you know, at that high level was really cool.
It brought a smile to my face, yeah. Most certainly. And one final, before I cut Jace loose, another question pertaining to a tailback that's local, the West Fargo Cheyenne graduate, the Bison running back, Breeka Panu. I saw you hand the ball off to him a couple of times. And then also, I'd be wrong if I didn't ask you about that absolute rocket that you threw over to Drew Bibber during that game. What was a couple of local guys like that, a gopher in Bibber, connecting with him on a seam style route, and then being able to hand the ball off to a North Dakota State tailback in Panu and the experience of those guys?
Same with Penny, being able to talk to him kind of during the week, and he's a local guy from Fargo and went to Cheyenne. So, you know, we had a couple guys on the Dragon. Shout out to Grant, Brennan, and Tate from Cheyenne, and he knew them, so I was able to, you know, kind of just have some common ground to talk about him with, and, you know, kind of just going through the week, that was the thing, like finding things to talk to guys about. But, you know, when it's a local guy like that, and, you know, I know a bit about their program just from kind of being around it. You know, it was cool to be able to talk to him, kind of talk about his experiences, and then with Drew Bibber too, being able to connect with him, you know, he's Minnesota or from Wisconsin and then playing in Minnesota. We kind of throughout the week, we've just been talking a lot, you know, and hooked up with him a couple times during practice on that same seam ball, and then being able to hit it in the game was really cool.
Jack, when you think back to that experience, especially maybe more so the practices, what do you think the biggest difference is for you when you're playing against some of these guys that are either FCS or they're, you know, Power Five, Power Four, you know, Group of Five teams? Is it just maybe kind of the overall speed of the game? Because, I mean, obviously, James and myself, we cover Division II football. I've been either watching or paying attention to what was, you know, some Division II teams that are now FCS teams. What's the biggest difference, do you feel, between the game you played at MSUM compared to playing against a bunch of guys from different divisions?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's as much, you know, the speed of the game, like with everything being faster. I think that kind of just adjusting to that. It kind of comes naturally because your guys are moving faster. You know, they're moving faster too, so the windows are a little tighter. But you should understand where the windows are going to be. And so I don't think that was as much of a difference, but I think just kind of the size of the lineman was big for me. Like at MSGM, I was kind of used to being one of the taller guys. You know, like we had some all linemen like B.O., he's taller than me. But most of them have the same size as or same height as or taller than. And same with the D linemen too. So then going into this week, like all the old linemen were taller, you know, taller than me. And then all the D linemen too. And in the game, I think that kind of showed that a couple passes get batted down. Those guys can kind of just reach a little bit higher than what I'm used to. So that'll definitely be something, you know, that I hadn't really considered that I'm going to have to adjust to in my training.
When you look back to the game, obviously as a Dragon broadcaster and a fan, I mean, I would have loved to have seen you out there even more than you were, but I know you had to take your turns while you were there. So number one, was it tough to kind of get into the flow of the game? I know a lot of guys were coming in and out because there's only so many reps and it's just one game. How was it trying to find your rhythm there? And then on the second part of it is, I did see when you guys got a first down late. Now, granted, I thought you guys were winning that game 6-0 when I went to bed, but there was about 4 minutes left, and then the score changed when I woke up in the morning. But I saw you celebrating with your teammates then on a nice pass along the sideline. I could clearly see you there in the camera shot. So obviously you can show that not only are you a guy that can go out there and play, you're also a team player. So how was it to adjust to getting in kind of late in that game and then also being able to show that you can support your teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely different because, you know, I'm used to, I guess, being the starter, like being the go-to guy kind of right away in the game. And I was trying to think about that before the game, too. Like, it's been a while since I haven't taken the first half of the game. you know, kind of just being in there, being there for my teammates, like kind of the same way that we had at MSGM. You know, like when the defense was out on the field, you know, all the offense would be up cheering for them, that kind of thing. And so, you know, kind of just flipped that when the offense was on the field and I wasn't in there, I kind of had to be the same thing, like cheering for them, kind of, you know, staying locked in for the quarterback, you know, what he was seeing, what the defense was doing. And then, you know, like guys makes a great catch on the sideline, got to be there, pick him up and like try to get the call to go our way, you know, if it's a close one. But, you know, I think that'll be something to adjust to, you know, at the next level, because wherever I end up going, I'm probably not going to go in there as a starter right away. And so, you know, having a chance to kind of be it wasn't really a backup, but like come in later in the game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If the starter goes down, you know, in the NFL and you're the backup, you don't really have time to get into a rhythm. You got to go in there and you got to perform right away. You always have to be ready because, you know, you're always one snap away. And so being able to prepare in that way, I guess, kind of prepared me for what might come at the next level.
When you look at some of the things, at least I saw on the broadcast, then it seemed as though they kind of maybe unveiled maybe some new technology that maybe will catch on with you know, maybe some of the professional teams and maybe it, I would say bigger schools, obviously, but instead of having a normal kind of wristband with plays on it, etc., they call it a number. You be able to give the full play call from your wrist because you have it all like written down on there. It was a digital device. So can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I know on the sidelines they're using like an iPad to get it into the wristbands of the quarterback. So what was that like and how cool was that technology?
Yeah, that was pretty slick. It was basically, so there's one coach on the side and he had an iPad and it had all the plays listed out, and then the play caller was kind of next to him and he'd just tell him, he had his sheet with all the plays on it and then they had numbers next to it. And then he would tell the iPad guy the number and then the iPad guy would like click on the play with the number and then that would like get Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, I don't know exactly how it worked, into our wristband and it would just read it off on there. So it was like it was an electronic thing. And then we'd look over at him and then if there was a flip tag, like if we were on the other hash maybe and we had to flip the play, you know, the other way, because it only come in, you know, as it read on the play sheet. So if we had to flip it, you kind of have to flip the formation and the direction, like of the run and the pass, whatever, when you set up the huddle. But, and then if there was a tag on it, like you wanted a guy to run a post instead of a corner or a post corner, that kind of thing. So we had to look over for that. But like the whole play really came in, you just read it off your wristband, but instead of having to search through three different sheets of paper, like you see in the NFL when they're lifting up the play band and everything, it just comes in, you read it off in the huddle and then you go from there. So yeah, that was a really cool kind of innovative thing that I had never experienced before. I've never gone off the wristband since high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, so being able to use that and use it in practice and in the game too, and I think it was very useful.
Oh, I think so, especially for an All-Star game. Now, moving kind of to not so much your play in the game per se, but the week down there. I know you've been out there. I believe you're out in what, New Jersey or New York or whatever, working out.
Yep, New Jersey.
Okay, so yep. You're working out there. You get down there. You get to talk to some former NFL coaches, some other coordinators, etc. So first part is, what things have you been working on while you've been out there preparing for this All-Star game? And, of course, as you go forward, preparing for pro days, et cetera. And what are some of the things you think after being down in Florida for a week that maybe you need to work on more so than you thought you were going to as we head into pro days and potentially a draft day?
Definitely the biggest thing that I've been working on has just been under center stuff, because at MSU, I didn't take any under center snaps in game in 4 years. So I've been big on that, kind of just working drafts, 3-5-7 step, and kind of speeding it up, and working with play action and different things you might throw in there, like play action, bootleg, that kind of thing. So that's been the biggest thing. And then just working on cleaning up my feet too, and making sure I'm aligned to every throw. So my quarterback trainer out here, his name is Tony Rasiopi. He's big on getting your feet, like making sure your feet are aligned, making every throw the same, whether it's throwing to the left, throwing down the middle, or throwing to the right. And that was something that I kind of struggled with a bit at times last year, I think, because my feet would just get a little bit sloppy and I wouldn't be aligned to the throw, kind of just relying on my arm. And then it caused me to miss high or low or, outside, inside, that kind of thing. Especially going to the left, I got a little bit inconsistent. So that's one of the big things that I've been working on. And then going down to Florida, I could tell, once we started getting under center snaps, I felt comfortable doing the drops. Like, I had just been up here for 2 weeks and already from that, I felt a lot better than I had previously. But definitely I still need to work on it. I still need to work on getting more depth with my drops and getting back there faster too, because you got it. Like the guys, they're getting to the spots faster. And so you have to be ready to throw, right away. Like you're taking a five step, you're giving play action, like a sprint out play action, that kind of thing. You gotta be on your horse to get out there. Cause the running back's moving faster and the receivers are moving faster to get to their spots. So you gotta be ready to go.
What type of feedback have you gotten from some of these coaches and or scouts? I mean, are you getting a lot of feedback? James and I know that there were several people, and granted, there's multiple scouts for each NFL team, but there's been scouts that have been coming to MSUM to kind of watch practice, watch games, etc. So what types of feedback are you getting from people about draft potential, about maybe undrafted free agent signings or whatever the case may be? Are you getting an idea of where maybe people are kind of looking at you at, or are you still at times still kind of an unknown?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think, with the teams that I talk to, they kind of have an idea. And a lot of times they're kind of they're kind of lower level scouts that are kind of doing, the lower level scouting. And so, in that way they kind of like me and they push me to the higher up scouts and to the coaches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, it's kind of just going to be that, like making sure that I put enough on tape that when those guys on tape, like from this game and then from the season and then through interviews and stuff, that when these scouts, kind of push me to the coaches and to the GMs, that kind of thing, that they have good stuff that they can say about me and like say, this guy would fit well in our system. And so it kind of depends on the team. Like, I feel like there's a few that, that they like me enough that maybe they take a late round shot on me, but I don't know. It's just tough as a D2 guy to kind of know, if you're probably going to end up being an undrafted free agent, that kind of thing, which, any opportunity is a great opportunity.
Well,
I'm going to be
absolutely
super grateful for. Kind of hard to say exactly where I'm at right now, with different teams. But we'll kind of just have to see as it goes throughout the process.
When you think about the opportunities, and obviously every football player wants to obviously end up in the NFL, but obviously these days there are a number of other leagues. Obviously we've got a handful of indoor leagues, which is kind of maybe a step below the United Football League, which has got 8 teams and continues to produce guys that get opportunities at the NFL level. There's obviously the CFL, which is a different style of game, but obviously pretty pass heavy, etc. When you consider all of those type of things, obviously the goal is the NFL because that is the premier professional football league. I mean, are you open to things like that? I know you want to, you've got this like engineering background, astrophysics or whatever the heck you're doing. It's way above my pay grade. But I mean, have you thought about all these things? I mean, I know there's even some professional leagues over in Europe. You'd be able to see Europe, etc. I mean, how open are you to a professional career? Is it NFL or bust, or are you open to these other things depending on what opportunities present yourself once we get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is, you know, every kid's dream is to make it to the NFL, and so that'd be the ultimate goal for me. But I think kind of at this point for me, like, you know, I'm taking this time, you know, to come out here, train, like, you know, take the semester off school, that kind of thing, to train for football. And so any opportunity that I get, whether it's the NFL, the CFL, the UFL, any of those other leagues, I'd be open to it. And, you know, the ultimate goal is just to continue playing football, no matter where that might be.
Now, my last question for you, so I mean, I'm sure James has got a million questions that he's been sitting there waiting this whole time for, but when you go back to high school, and if I'm not mistaken, is it what, Bloomer, Wisconsin, right?
Bloomer, Wisconsin,
yeah.
Yep.
So you were like a triple option or at least a run-heavy type of quarterback. Maybe there was limited amounts of times you got a chance to throw the ball. You end up at MSUM because obviously that felt like the right place to be. You end up starting as a freshman. You break all these school records for passing yards, touchdowns, et cetera. Did you ever picture yourself when you were maybe sophomore, junior in high school that this is where you would be preparing for potentially being drafted into the NFL?
That's kind of hard to say. I mean, I obviously, like, since I've been a little kid, it's been my dream to play in the NFL, keep playing football as long as I can. And so, you know, it's kind of a dream that I never gave up, even going to MSGM. You know, I knew that there had been D2 guys to come out and, you know, have successful careers in the NFL and in other leagues. And so, I mean, I knew it would be a long shot, especially in high school, you know, kind of coming out playing in a run-heavy offense. But I never really gave up on that dream. I wouldn't say it was always kind of something that I had and that I thought, you know, I might have a shot to if I played well in college. And, you know, obviously I'm very grateful to be in the position that I am now to potentially have a shot to keep playing football.
I'm going to piggyback right off of that question Jace just asked and the answer you gave. I've been sitting on this for like 15 months. I just never
15
knew.
15 months?
I never knew when the right time to bring it up was because you don't want to, you know, have these thoughts rolling around your head during a season. You got things, you know, to worry about with classes and football. And I'm just, you know, the broadcaster that's out here just like a kid in a candy shop. But after your junior season, right, you were at the time a one-time NSIC Offensive Player of the Year, now a two-time NSIC Offensive Player of the Year. There was local media murmurings about will Jack Strand be in Dragon Red his senior year, or will he enter the transfer portal? I remember distinctly Coach Lockway getting asked it, and he just gave his diplomatic answer of Dragon love, and anybody that wants to be there, they're going to welcome with open arms. And you just threw out this gif of Nick Saban saying, I'm not going to, so quit asking. I think that's the perfect opportunity to ask you specifically about everything that you just encompassed there, about the goal as a child of wanting to play professional football, but at the same point in today's wild west of transfer portals and quote unquote the grass is always greener, you decided to stay in a program that trusted in you as an under-recruited guy out of high school, and now you're having all these opportunities as one of two D2 guys to be in the American Bowl, being a guy that's in New Jersey training for pro days. What is that like, and what have the last 15 months been like since that whirlwind started to begin for you?
Yeah, I mean, going back to that, I think that, you know, that was something that I saw it on Twitter, I think, and I had talked to Coach Check about it, and I was thinking of that Nick Saban quote, and he's like, well, you should post it on Twitter, and then, you know, post a nice little write-up with it and say, like, you know, it's not, you know, just about throwing the ball 60, 70 times a game. It's about, you know, being with the guys that you love, being in a program that you love with the culture that, you know, is built the way that ours is, you know, on loving your teammates and being there for them, caring more about them and, you know, wanting to succeed, to see your team succeed, see your teammates succeed. And so I thought that was a good opportunity for that. But then kind of going forward, you know, I knew, like, I was going to be with the guys that I built relationships with and that I love, that are my best friends, that I know, like, those relationships will continue, you know, well beyond playing football. And so kind of knowing that I'd have another year with those guys to kind of just keep building what we had started, keep elevating the level of the program, and kind of whatever came from that, you know, whether, you know, I get a shot, you know, playing professionally, or whether, you know, what might come from it, you know, some might say, if you want to play professionally, you should have gone up a level, that kind of thing. Like on play D1, you might have gotten more eyes on you, and like certainly would have gotten more money, more fame, that kind of thing. And you know, I mean, just say that, like, it's never been about money, never been about fame, never been about the glory, any that kind of thing. It's just always been about playing football and then, you know, being a Dragon, sticking with the guys that I've built relationships with, being with those guys, and kind of been through a lot of lows, been through a lot of highs now too. And kind of just looking back at where we were at when I was a freshman, we had such a young team. We went 4-7 and then kind of had 3 winning seasons in a row. Just kept day by day, you know, elevating the level of the program. And I know that the guys that are there now are going to continue to do that. And I think being able to have that legacy to look back on, that, you know, all of us can look back on, that's really special. And that's what's the most important thing.
Well, that is always just great words to hear. And I do know that the NFL scouts, if they're worth a darn, they're going to find you, because I know that my favorite team, the Buccaneers, they found a lineman out of Division III Hobarth College. So, I mean, they will find you if the talent is there. And I think that you have the talent, so people are looking at you for sure now, Jack. But the real question is, and we've heard about this from other players, especially now that we're in this NIL period. So, how about this? How many schools slid into your DMs after that junior season? You don't have to give us specific names, but I mean, there's got to be some people that are reaching out to you, at least after that junior season.
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't really quite as crazy as you'd think, like with tampering and everything.
Right.
Like, I had one school or one guy call me, and he's like, "I heard you're gonna enter the portal. I heard through the grapevine you're gonna enter the portal," that kind of thing. And I was like, yeah. "No, I'm pretty content where I'm at and staying here." And then I think pretty soon after that, I put out that thing on Twitter, and that probably pushed off quite a bit of the noise too. so it never got too crazy. But I mean, I think, you know, even if it had been, even if I had a bunch of these schools reaching out, it wouldn't have changed anything in terms of my mindset and where I wanted to be.
Well, that's great. And of course that probably hopefully puts to quash the rumor that James was standing underneath the bleachers after a game junior season with a trench coat on and a bunch of money under it, right?
All I had was a roll of quarters too. I don't have a large budget, man, so I'm glad that it worked.
Oh yeah, that would have been something if I had seen that.
Finish up the broadcast. I don't know where James went. He's under the bleacher. I don't know. Psst, Jack, come here.
Yeah, but what would you have said if you had you just disappeared after that? And then you camera probably would have cut to him after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been something right out of a comedy movie, yeah. Some Adam Sandler type thing right there is what I would have think.
I'm picturing it like walking back into our locker room, and then there's that little gap where he put the softball.
Exactly.
He probably would have been standing right there.
Oh, that would be absolute comedic gold. You had mentioned, of course, the Dragon love as well, and trying to, you know, put a bow on everything here today. We appreciate your time, giving us graciously your time when you're busier than heck right now. But that Dragon love, the program, you deciding to stay. I mean, I know that Jason and I were watching from home. I know that about half of your teammates were posting on social media about you being at the American Bowl. Your family's there, of course, but what did it mean for you as a person outside of being a football player to see that Mikhail Pearson and his father were at that game down in Lakeland, Florida? Coach Chuck was there for you. The Nemziks were there. And I'm sure there's a bunch of people that I'm missing out that joined your family in supporting you down there. And I just kicked myself for not being able to get that darn plane ticket.
Yeah, I mean, that's just super special. And it kind of just shows the love that everyone in this program has, you know, for everybody else, and how it goes so far beyond just Dragon football, and it goes far beyond football as a whole. Like, it goes into your everyday life. Like, I know, I mean, even if I wasn't playing football, if I was continuing, you know, going down my engineering path, you know, I'd still have all these people supporting me too. And I know that I'll continue to support all my teammates, former teammates, you know, kind of sucks to have to say former teammates now. You know, I'll continue to support those guys kind of no matter what happens too. And I know we got some guys, you know, like Gage and Brady, they're trying to hopefully continue playing ball too. And so, you know, I've just been keeping in touch with those guys, seeing how it's going with them. But, you know, yeah, it just shows that the relationships that we build go so far beyond the being a Dragon. You know, it's like it'll continue for the rest of our lives. You know, like there's guys that I played with that I know they'll be in my wedding today and I'll be in theirs. And, you know, just seeing all that support that all these people have for me, it's really special. And yeah, I mean, it just proves how special of a place MSUM is and how special that culture is.
Awesome. Well, Jack, thanks for a couple minutes of your time. We really do appreciate it. And whenever that pro day does come, shoot us a message. Let us know, because I'm hell-bent on getting there this time. We're going to make sure we're at pro day. We're going to be supporting you. And, you know, I'm gonna say right now, I'm going to be professional. It's a total lie.
No.
Total lie.
I'll be wearing my dragon
I'm gonna be
gear.
Like a cheerleader, man. Yep. I might have on, you know, the cheerleading outfit, but we're looking forward to supporting you and your pro day and moving forward. Thanks for your time, Jack.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you guys.